Well, good morning, church. In person and online, welcome. And I just want to give a shout out to Rochester, New York. Thank you for joining us. And also Santa Maria, California. Thank you for tuning in. And La Quinta, California, not too far away. Thanks for joining us here this morning. And I also want to give a special shout out to one of our missionaries from Bangkok, Thailand, who is visiting with us this morning, Chris and his wife, Nui Lenti. Where are you guys? Right here. All right. They will be out back on the patio at a table, and I encourage you to go back and ask about their ministry. It's a fascinating ministry, one that's on the front lines. They're right there in Bangkok in the red light district, the prostitution district there, and they do frontline ministry there. And they also launched a project about 6 years ago that is bearing a lot of fruit, and it has to do with building, strengthening marriages, because obviously that's a big problem and why that even red light district exists. So, but you can find out a lot more, and I want to encourage you to visit them on the patio, then you can know how to pray for them as well. All right, but welcome, guys. I know you got a big journey here in California and you're heading out and they're going all over the country for the next 6 months. So be praying for them. And also, real quick, as you know, Easter is coming up. By the way, thank you for those of you that decided to participate by putting a Easter sticker on your car. Thank you for that. You probably had to cross some emotional boundaries to do that, but you did. Only one more week, and I promise, it's not leaving a residue. You can pull it off and, you know, that kind of thing. In fact, some of you have told me with the rains it fell off, so that shows how easy it is. Now, we recognize that sometimes, you know, you forget between now and going to the parking lot, and sometimes you have, you know, you mean well, but, you know, sometimes we forget. So in case you forgot, we saw your car this morning, and we put another sticker on your windshield wiper just to help you out, you know, just so before you leave. And we got the little wipey, too, so you don't even have to put it on the front seat and wait till you get home. You just take it all out, put it on. One more week. Can we do this? Yes. All right. Good. Thanks. Appreciate that. Well, as you can tell, we are now entering what has traditionally been labeled as Holy Week in the Christian faith. And it's the final week of the life of Jesus and the ministry of Jesus. And today, traditionally, has been called Palm Sunday, a day where Jesus rides into Jerusalem on a colt, and the place is going off. Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. And a big celebration, but also a big misunderstanding, because we know that just a few days later, the same crowd is saying, crucify him, crucify him. And what was the misunderstanding? Well, save us from Roman tyranny. Save us from Roman persecution. Be our political leader, be our king that takes back Jerusalem in the name of God. That was their understanding. That was not the goal of Jesus. That's not why he came. If you were a follower of him, that's not the benefits you received from him. That was a big misunderstanding. Last week, we started talking about this topic in terms of what it means when you become a Christian and the things that go along with it. And so I'm going to keep talking about that here this morning. But title this morning's message, A Big Misunderstanding. And we're going to look at what's included when you become a Christian, part two. So if it's not a political leader, if it's not a king, if it's not a take back Jerusalem, what is it? When you're a follower of Jesus, what do you get? Why even become a follower? Now, if you're with us last week, a little bit of review, because it's important, because we're right in the middle of a discussion Jesus is having. So we want to make sure we just don't fly in right in the middle, but give you a little context. Jesus is speaking to a crowd, okay, as usual. The crowd is mixed between Pharisees and Jews and just all kinds of people. And he's speaking and using an allegory, a lot of symbolism, to explain some spiritual truth. A lot of times we think of the parables of Jesus. Allegories are different. They have more moving parts and they have plots and subplots. Parables, one focus, one truth. Allegories won't always make sense. And you don't want to dig too deep on them and try to nuance it, because that's not the purpose of it. But as he began this allegory, he was talking about sheep, he's talking about shepherds, he's talking about a sheepfold, he's talking about a gatekeeper, he's talking about a door, he's talking about wolves. So by way of context, the whole thing centers around this idea of a sheepfold, where you keep your sheep. I have a picture of it, which will kind of help build the context. I showed you this last week. So it's made with rocks, and that's probably about an 8-9 foot high wall all the way around. So no predators can get in, per se, and sometimes they would have a roof over it, a thatched roof. But this is big. You could probably fit 4 or 5 flocks of sheep, and that's what the shepherds would do. They'd graze them in the day, bring them in at night, and they'd all go in. And that door, that opening, one of the shepherds would lay across. He was called a gatekeeper, to prevent the sheep from going out and to prevent predators from coming in. In the morning, shepherds would go in. They would call their sheep. The sheep knew the voice of their shepherd, much like dogs, kind of. And so the ones that it wasn't their shepherd, they wouldn't go. They knew from birth, because they'd heard that voice from birth. It's been imprinted on them who their shepherd was. So they'd call their sheep, take them out, and that's how it worked, okay? So within that context, Jesus now starts attaching the symbolism. This is review, by the way. If you were here last week, bear with me, but survey says you forgot everything I said by Tuesday, so this may be helpful. Just saying. So Jesus said to them, relating to this whole topic, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. See, this is where allegories don't make sense, right? Because you can't be a door in a human being. Symbolically, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. So this idea of Jesus equating, we won't drill down on it too deep because you can listen to last week's message if you want online. But basically this door, you got to go through. You have to make a decision. He's saying, I'm the door. To what? Text says abundant life. There are all kinds of fake doors, there are all kinds of predators out there, but I am the door that you gotta go through. And so we talked about this is central to the Christian faith. And when we're talking about what's included when you become a Christian, it's eternal life. Eternal life. Jesus came so that we could have life eternal. Like the Apostle Paul says, if it's just for this life that we believe in Jesus, we should be pitied. But Jesus came for the now and forever, after our heartbeat stops. So we drilled down on that, okay? But next, he changes the metaphor application and says, I am the good shepherd. So now we're not a door anymore, we're a good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, highlighting there's not so good a shepherds that wouldn't do that, right? And then now he gives us some details on that. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So he's comparing and contrasting the owner of a sheep versus a hired gun. And we equated that to parents, right? How many of you parents would die for your kids? Most of us would say yes. If it came down to that, I would. How many of your babysitters would die for your kids? Not so many. Okay, so that's the contrast that he's highlighting. So he's talking about he's willing to lay down his life, i.e. the cross, for his sheep, followers of who he is. And so he talks about why he does this. There's an ownership there. There's a connection there. There's a deep peace there. And we talked about when you become a Christian, this is what's included, eternal life and the unconditional love of God. The unconditional love of God. That's review, okay? That's what we went over last week. Now the new verses, because he's still talking. He's still symbolizing. He says once again, verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and they know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. There it is again, the cross. But you got four no's. I know. And that word know literally means a deep connection in a completeness of knowing. You might go, what does that look like? Well, he tells us what it looks like. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father. That's pretty deep. That's pretty complete, right? Because when we talk about the Trinity, we say the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in, there's a oneness that takes place, he's saying, between him and his sheep. There is a completeness that takes place between him and his sheep. There is an intimacy that takes place between him and his sheep. In other words, Christianity goes beyond forgiveness, goes beyond grace, goes beyond eternal life, goes beyond the hope of heaven. There's even more, and I put it this way, when we talk about what's included when you become a Christian, number one this morning, if you're taking notes, a personal relationship with Jesus. That's what's included, a personal relationship with Jesus. Christianity, the Bible, and the message of Jesus is all about intimacy. And this is the thing that can be left out in Christendom. And what happens when you leave out the personal relationship of Jesus? What do you get? Legalism and dead church. Because you've taken the person of Jesus and just used the principles of Jesus. Instead of an intimacy, it becomes a moral code. Instead of a loving connection, it becomes do's and don'ts. Remember when Jesus was questioned by the leaders of the day? They were trying to pin him, and they said, hey, there's 10 commandments. What's the most important? And he summarized them. Remember what he said? Obey the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. No, he didn't say that. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. All the obedience stuff, all the do stuff, all the action steps, that comes later. If that's the driver, you don't have biblical Christianity. You got institutionalized Christendom that has a bunch of rules and regulations and people judging one another and who's keeping them or not. It's a very different perspective. It made me think of, I remember when I spent a couple, gone four or five times to Albania. And, you know, it's a very, went to Albania. Arranged marriages are alive and well in Albania. Very clan-driven, very tribal-driven. And the older generation is a little bit perplexed of how it works if you marry for love. That's what they would call it. And so I'd be asked, did you marry for love? Did your kids marry for love? Because how do you get married in marriage? It's the parents. They just go, we're doing the deal. It's a business deal. This makes sense for my daughter and my son to get married because this will help us financially. This will, you know, move the legacy of the family forward. This will be, it's a business deal. It's not about whether you're in love or not. So do's and don'ts drive those things. But if you get married for love, that stuff comes, but that's not the priority. That's not the driver. You're not sitting going, you know, okay, let's see. So if we get married, do I have to get up and make coffee? Or is that your role? What do I have to come home every night? What rules are attached to this? You don't do that. You're in love. The rest of it follows. And this is what it is to know the Lord. Remember the point last week? His love is unconditional. And he wants us to step in to loving him. And in doing so, you'll have a personal relationship with the Lord. It's very different, right? If I ask you, hey, how's it going? How's your faith? Immediately think of, okay, what should I be doing? Oh, I haven't been reading my Bible enough. You know, I haven't gone to church enough. Oh, I should pray more. I slipped up last week and said a couple swear words. Whatever. If I say, how's your relationship with Jesus? Throws you off, potentially. Because you go, whoa, my relationship with Jesus. You know, I read every day, I pray every day, I study the Bible every day, I serve at church. My relationship? See how it shifts it? You don't ask somebody, so how's it going with the rules in your home lately? You say, how's you and your wife? You guys getting along, right? And think about what goes into a relationship. A good relationship's gonna what? Have communication. To speak and be heard. It's called prayer. A good relationship is gonna trust one another. It's called faith. A good relationship is gonna apologize when you blow it. It's called confession. And a good relationship is gonna be thankful for the other person and what they've done. It's called worship. Same components in Christendom is in a relationship in a marriage, highlighting Christianity as a personal relationship with Jesus. When that drives all the actions, all the do's, all the don'ts, you don't have to be told. You don't, it's there, but it's not in front. So, there you go. And Jesus continues in verse 16, and I have other sheep that are not of this fold. Who's he talking to? Jews. So he's going, I got other sheep that aren't Jews, not part of Israel. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. So he's even broadening perspective of what he's talking about to them. He's saying, it's just gonna be our little holy huddle here. Of course, we know at the end of the age, at the end of his ministry, he told the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, not just here in Jerusalem. So what you're hearing, there's gonna be more than us girls. There's gonna be more. But here's the deal. They may have a different passport. They may speak a different language. They may have a different culture. They may have different struggles. They may have different skin colors. But they're still my sheep. That's why our brother Christian and his wife is our brother and sister in Christ. Not because we grew up in the same town, not because we even grew up in the same country, but because we're sheep with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life, the cross, that I may take it up again. Oh, Easter, resurrection. How timely. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. Jesus was not a victim on Good Friday. He was an offering of his own accord, unconditional love. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Here's the key. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. I have authority. I have unimpeded power. And nothing is going to get in the way. Nothing's going to hinder it. And if you, in case you wonder if there's someone higher than me, i.e. the Father, because that's what they believed in, Yahweh, right? No, he gave it to me. So don't try that. Leapfrog stuff. Oh, you say you got power, but we follow God who has the ultimate power. No. He gave it to me. So once again, Jesus is elevating himself to be equal with God, which we know the crowd loves. Fully embrace that message. But Jesus is effectively saying, I'm in charge. I have the authority. Things I'm telling you, I will do. It's a promise. You can defend on it. And there's no one that's gonna get in the way or hinder it, including you. So this highlights what's also included when you become a Christian. Number 2 on your outline this morning, all promises are guaranteed. All promises are guaranteed. Jesus said so. The promise of heaven and eternal life is a guarantee if you trust Jesus and follow him. The promise of forgiveness and mercy is a guarantee. The promise of leading, being led, and having God protect you and provide for you is a guarantee. He can guarantee it because he has the authority to do it. That's why Paul said in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The shepherd is powerful enough to protect, guide, lead, forgive, and promise and guarantee to his sheep. Like how Peter was even doubting that. If you remember way on the ministry, Peter, you know, denied Jesus and blew out, and Jesus came and restored him. And you know, he talked about, Peter, you're going to be the pinnacle of the church. And he said, not even the gates of hell will prevail. How can he say that? Because he has the authority to. A few weeks back, I got a email from my credit card company that one of my cards was overdue. Now, I'm the kind of guy that, like, I charge on credit cards. I pay them off in full just to get the points or whatever, just so I don't have to carry cash around. So I'm like, what? You know, and then, of course, you look in the little light, and, you know, it's like, okay, there's late fees and interest, you know. It's like, dang. So I call them. Hi. So I just got this thing, and oh yeah, we never received payment. Da, 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 da. I said, ah, man, I can honestly say, is it paper? Are you sending a paper? You said, well, let me check. Yeah, oh yeah, it's paper. I'm like, oh no, okay, we probably overlooked it or never got it. I said, well, as you can see on my history, I pay in full. So this was a slip up. This was a mistake. Any way you can waive those fees? Hold on. 2 minutes later, comes back. Yes, we'll waive the fees. She goes, I had to talk to my manager. Fair enough. Sweet. But what's the reality? The reality is she didn't have the authority to do it. She had to go to somebody with the authority to do it. And who knows what that person would have been. Maybe they got the authority that anything over 200 bucks just or under 200 bucks, just waive it. Anything over 200 bucks, you need to go to the next level. And I don't know. If it was $2,000 of fees, you might have to go to the intergalactic manager of North America, Mr. Visa. I don't know. But he could probably waive it. And see, here's the deal. What we're talking about with Jesus, you don't need to go to the manager. You know, there's no bigger, there's no taller, there's no different. And that's the difference with religions today, right? When you think of religions today and religious leaders today, they have some authority, but they're always pointing to the next authority and hoping it worked out. Whether you're a pastor, or not a pastor, but a rabbi or an imam or whatever, whatever religion, it's usually works-based, and it's usually you hope that it works out, and you hope that some way God up there figures it out. There's a big distance, and there's a lot of middlemen in between there. In Christianity, there's no middlemen. I'm not a middleman for you. I'm a coach on the team, and we're trying to follow Jesus together. We're going directly to the manager, the authority. And so when we read the promises of God, hopefully this encourages you. When Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Guarantee. If you look to the Lord and look to his understanding, he'll make your path straight. 1 Corinthians 15:20. Here's what Paul talked about. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. That's after a discussion about Easter. Basically, Easter is nothing more than Jesus saying, I'm in charge, even death won't hold me down. But secondarily, I'm giving you an example of what will happen to you when your body dies, that in fact you will be resurrected into the presence of God. Why can he say it? Because he did it. He has the authority. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything. Oh, that's hard. Don't worry. Yeah, it's easy. Just stop it. No, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So talk to God about it, and look what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. It's a guarantee. Supernatural peace when you come to God with your struggles. I could go on. Matthew 11:28, come to me, Jesus said, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Promise. It's not a paycheck. It's not if you do these three things, you know, and earn it. No, 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 just come to me. I'll give it to you. And I love I just gave one more. New Testament is filled with promises. But I love this one that Jesus gave to his disciples at the very end of their ministry. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. After he told them he was leaving, they probably had a big gulp because they knew that their leader had been crucified. What's in it for them? What are we going to do? Who do we go to? The shepherd is leaving. He says, no, I'm not. I'll be with you. How can he be with them? Because he's got the authority to do it. So, the last verse, complete the paragraph. There was again a division among the Jews because of these words. Many of them said, he has a demon and is insane. Why listen to him? Others said, these are not the words of one who is oppressed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? Because remember, he just healed a blind guy. So, crowd still divided, as usual. And we could see it's a position of the heart. This isn't a sales technique that Jesus needs to practice and do better at. Really got to sharpen his communication skills. It's Jesus. And yet, in the midst of that, there will still be hardened hearts. There will still be people that say, I'm going to do it myself, or you threaten me, or they're processing, and I would highlight this, Christianity in the wrong way. They're not seeing this. They're seeing a threat to their power. They're seeing a threat to their influence. They're seeing what they worked hard for having to be given up. They're seeing all this stuff that doesn't have to do with love, a personal relationship, eternal life, or any kind of promises guaranteed. They're seeing it through their limited lens. And that's why this is so important. Because we don't want to make the Palm Sunday mistake. Cheer Jesus on, but all for the wrong reasons and miss the whole thing. So in a way, Palm Sunday is kind of a process. Yeah, there was a celebration, but the motive behind it wasn't following Jesus. It was following what he stood for. Freedom, political freedom. And that's why they changed their tune. So I don't know what this does for you here, online, and wherever you are, but I really encourage you to process this. This is Christendom. How do we know? Christ said it. We're not interpreting and flying in. We're, okay, here it is. And this is what he's saying. The real question is, are you one of his sheep? How do you do that? Walk through the door. Who's the door? Jesus. What do I do? Put my trust in him. Follow him. It's a decision. It's a fine line, and only you can decide this, between dating God and saying, I do. In many ways, it can look the same, and the difference is in your heart. Come to church, good. Read your Bible, great. Pray, awesome. Serve, great. Give, great. am I dating God? Or have I said, I do? Think about dating. What are you really doing? You're only committed to a certain level. You're testing it out, maybe. You're seeing if it's really gonna work. It's tentative, right? Why get married? Just live with them. Live together. See how it plays. So we all know inherently that there's a big difference between all that and saying I do. Otherwise, we wouldn't care about living together. We wouldn't care about, we'd just say I do everywhere. So we know that to walk the aisle and say I do, in our heart, we're saying, I give my life to you for the rest of my life. We even say that, till death do us part. It's very different than, hey, you want to live together? See how it goes. Now, one has a ceremony, the others don't. So we put the flag in the ground for those kind of things. But when it comes to your heart and spiritual things, it's a little different. So have you said, I do to God? Have you said, Lord, I surrender my heart. As much as I know what that means, like on a wedding day, I really don't know exactly what that entails because there's years ahead to vet that out. But at the end of the day, have I given you everything? Because you've given everything for me. I do. Let the other stuff follow later. I do. Why? Because you did. That's different than dating. And the reality is, whether you're saying Jesus was demon-possessed, which you were not, probably, but you're dating, it's still the same category. You're not a sheep. So you don't become a Christian. No, 10% more, 20% more. Working on that Christian thing, 80%, bang, 100% in. No. It's a decision. Yes or no? Well, I don't know. That's no. And that's what creates moments like this. Quiet, pin drop. But it's good. Like the Apostle Paul said during the letter to the Corinthians, check yourself to make sure you're of the faith. Don't you realize that Christ lives in you unless you're not of the faith? So in many ways, this is going to be a review for those of you that are sheep. And I hope it's been a helpful review, an encouraging review. Yeah, my personal relationship. I've slipped off into legalism. I got to get back to just me and Jesus. Or, gosh, the promises of God. I haven't read the Bible in a while. I want to be encouraged by the promise because Jesus has the authority to do it. Or, man, eternal life. I'm so focused on this life. Eternal life gives me a broader perspective. Hopefully that's encouraging. But if you're not a sheep, this is what you get. And I would just suggest this. If you're saying no, there's probably spiritual warfare going on. There's probably something deeper. And you're processing maybe things the wrong way. Well, I don't know if I could give up. Don't do that. Lead with love. He'll take care of all that. Lord, we thank you that you don't leave us and that when we talk about you right now, you're here right now. This isn't like some distant history lesson. And as we reflect on this allegory that you use, Lord, it causes us to reflect on our lives. Lord, you know what kind of adjustments we need here this morning or what kind of decisions are needed here this morning. And Holy Spirit, I just pray that by your power, you draw people to yourself. And if this morning you're feeling that adjustment, don't fight it. If you're feeling that conviction, don't fight it. That's the Lord speaking to you. Just respond. I'm going to give us like 30 seconds of quiet just to respond to the Lord. If you're not a follower, you can be right now. You don't have to go to classes. You don't have to take months to do. It can happen right now just by saying I do to Jesus. Ask him to forgive you of your sin. Ask him to make you a child, to become his sheep. Ask for the gift of heaven. Thank him for dying on the cross for you. And commit. Say, Lord, from this day forward, I want to follow you. And for the rest of us, maybe there's some adjustments. Maybe there's some cleaning up. But there's nothing holy about this week unless we connect with the Holy One of God, our Lord and Savior. So just take this 30 seconds to make your peace with God. Thank you, Lord, for your patience. Thank you for your unconditional love. Ours is so conditional, and we confess that. Thank you that we can restart every day with you. Your mercies are new every morning. Lord, I thank you for those that said I do for the first time. I just pray you give them a big hug. The Holy Spirit, you would just fill their heart and their mind to where they know and can sense your presence like never before. And Lord, for the rest of us, we just celebrate what a gift it is to have you as our personal Lord and Savior and all these benefits, and we don't deserve any of them. All we can do is worship you and say thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you next week on Good Friday.